Warning! The following episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on this show are reflective of A.T. Orsini, the Chief Dave, and their guests exclusively. Seriously, guys, my Dada and Uncle say some pretty crazy stuff. If it offends you, go be butthurt somewhere else.
Question marks necessary here today. This is your boy, A.J. Orsini, once again here with another episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. And I said no question marks are necessary because your boy is here. I'm here with again with Deceived Dave. Dave, you with us today?
Uh-huh.
He is balls deep into, what was it you said, two?
Two dose for Spanish-speaking listeners out there.
He's over here double-fisting energy drinks.
Dude, I wish. I had to do it back to back, though. I chased my energy drink with an energy drink.
I'm going to chase the quality of my energy drink with more energy drink. I'm going to end violence the only way I know how. With more violence.
With more violence.
It's the only way. Oh, what a terrible fucking day. What a fucking terrible fucking day.
And I apologize ahead of time for that. I'm pretty sure my kid probably just started an apocalypse.
She is the outbreak monkey.
She is the outbreak. Hey, I do call her my monkey. She's the outbreak monkey. Oh, that's boy. It. So, hopefully you two survive, but it looks like Alex was slain, unfortunately.
Yes. Well, not completely. I've got some things. It's just not as bad as him. So to clarify what we're talking about here, this was supposed to be a historic weekend for the show because your boys were in the same place at the same time. You were over my house this weekend, shucking and jiving, doing it up in the big city, as they say.
Yeah.
Little by little, our children decided, I don't know if they had a meeting, I don't know if there was a memo, an email chain that was exchanged. I'm unsure. I know I didn't get CC'd on this.
Mm-mm.
But for whatever reason, our kids...
There's a teams we're not a part of.
Yeah, the kids just decided, you know what? Fuck everybody's plan.
It's like, hey, do you know how hard it is for these adults to do things? Let's fuck this up.
Let's just throw a monkey wrench in the, no pun intended, into the whole goddamn program. So your daughter was not feeling well. My son was not feeling well.
Afterwards, he was good till we got there.
It wasn't the way I left him.
No. See? Nope.
So, any update on yours? Because I'm about to update the fuck out of these people.
She's just congested as hell. Okay. I mean, she's always been congested. Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's ever been sick, and your wife kind of confirmed that when she scanned her forehead. Nothing happened. She was green, but she's just congested, which gave Nora some type of bug that didn't kick in until we got there. Like the first night we were there, she threw up, and now her voice box is gone. And she's getting worse as the day goes on. Like, we got home yesterday, and she was dead, dude. She just took medicine and just fucking fell asleep. I was with the baby for the rest of the night. And then I started to feel a little weird, but I'm a grown-ass man, so I just stopped being sick and just started being more awesome.
I just willed it to happen.
Yeah. I looked myself in the mirror. I said, no!
Yeah.
And then it was good. Like, it was gone. I didn't have to worry about it, so.
That's it. We're going to put a stop to this.
Other than that, they're good. There's no fever shit. I think it's just some weird bug. Just a bug thing.
It's a bug for sure. It's not even like a – because my son – He woke up yesterday morning out of the fucking blue and just, my stomach. Now, we still went out and did the things that we were planning on doing.
But, he participated.
Yes,
he went hard. He fought through it.
Yes, that's right.
For the fun.
Yeah. He took several for the team.
But alas,
it was not enough because the minute, and I mean the fucking minute, that you guys left the house, everything for his entire life turned upside down, all willy-nilly. He's been throughout the evening. So if you can hear it in my voice, folks, this is why. Throughout the evening, it was coming out of both ends. He's got the bucket with a cup of water, and we're just feeding him dehydration because it's all coming out. This child of mine has never in his life, since diapers, shit his pants. It's never happened. And it did it twice.
At least it finally came out. He was fighting that shit all day.
Yeah, all day. Yeah, no, for real. And he threw up before he went to bed, which I think is what allowed him to go to bed. But then, like, around 1, 2 in the morning, he's back up. He's calling us. He's shaking and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I didn't put it together, but my wife was like, I think you took 8 shits yesterday. I'm like, no fucking way. Who takes 8 shits? But throughout the course of the evening, and so far we're recording this now Sunday as of 10 a.m., I'm already on my third shit. So I'm like, all right, no. Yeah, I got something. Something's going on here.
There's a bug. I was like that all, but hey, listen. We fight through it. We survive.
You persevere, as they say.
We force that day as hard as possible, dude. And it's a shame because I was really looking forward to today and doing something else because it was so fucking nice yesterday.
Yeah, weather-wise.
Hoping to get a repeat of that day.
Yeah.
The walking felt good after the first hour. It was just a great time, dude, only for everyone to be turned upside down, which fucking sucks.
Yeah, it is what it is. We'll get the rematch.
It is what it is.
We'll get the rematch going for sure. But for those of you who were looking forward to the episode yesterday, we apologize, but we had to take care of the children's because I gotta make them a priority because someone's wiping my ass in 20 years, and it ain't me. So I'm gonna tell you that right now. When I say that I'm retired, I'm going to be retired from everything. You'd be lucky if
I hang it up.
Yeah, it's
all
over.
All of it's going there.
You're lucky I chew my own food at when I get to that age.
Jesus.
I'm going to have to be baby birded when I'm 60 because it's not – I'm retired.
Damn.
All of it. It's going to be over and done with. So got to make sure the kiddos are good. My wife last night, unrelated to the virus thing, had another incident with the breathing, but a very small one, and the albuterol worked out well. My wife's been having some lung issues. I haven't mentioned it on the show. over the course of the last few weeks now, with what we're assuming was an asthma attack last week, so we'll see. We're monitoring that situation. But we've got all the tools in the home now to handle whenever attacks or anything like that happens. So now it's just about making these appointments, which is amazing because this is one of the cons to – there's pros and there's cons. This is one of the biggest cons to living in this fucking city because if you're sick today, you're not seeing the doctor for like a month, right? It's like you have to set appointments like a month in advance. You can go to the ER, but the ER is going to make sure that you leave alive and then tell you to just see the doctor.
That's usually what they
tell us all the time. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. Like, she had the attack. We were able to get a teleconference in, and they were able to give her prescriptions. But as far as actually being tested for what's wrong.
And figure out why the fuck she went from being, like, a normal lunged person to full-blown chronic asthma.
Did you say lunged?
Hold on.
I'm not letting that. Hold on. Did you just say lunged? Lunged?
Yeah, for sure.
A normal lunged person. I love that.
Yeah.
Come on.
For sure.
Let's get Webster on this.
That's what you get. That's what you get with two energies.
What you get also when you have two normal functioning lungs. I've been sitting here lunged for a while.
Listen, I understand my privilege, okay?
Yes!
I don't speak to brag. I speak to inform.
Yeah, I'm here to educate. That's what
trying to raise awareness.
Yeah, the ability to breathe is now becoming more of a luxury than it is an actual right. of passage here.
It's so sad how ironically true that is. Let's move on before we get fucking depressed. Yeah.
We don't want the government to start taxing air because then we're in trouble.
Dude, shut the fuck. Dude, if it happens in the next decade, we're going to riot at your place.
Oh, boy.
You put it into the atmosphere. All right,
well, no, I'll host it. I'll bring snacks and beverages. Little pigs in the blanket. Little pigs in the blanket always spruces up a nice rebellion. You know, you got to have a nice pig in the blanket. when you're overthrowing governments, the last pig in the blanket, maybe some homemade iced tea, you know, settles the stomach.
The true story of success is the quality of your hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, well, there you go. Finger foods say it best. We mean business. We want free oxygen, and we want it now.
I can just imagine you inside peeking out the blinds. You're just like, how bad is it? Hold on a second. Oh, fuck, they have pigs in the blanket.
Oh, no.
We're fucked.
They've brought out the pigs in the blanket. Oh, no.
They mean business.
Yeah, they're settling in for the long haul here, guys.
Jesus.
Oh, man. So we do have some things going on in the home. So while this is officially, because I refuse to tap out, Jesus didn't tap, so I'm not tapping, to just let another weekend go by without an episode. But at the same time, folks, we are absolutely cashed. So there was just, since we are on the road to WrestleMania, I figure we'll keep in line with some of that because there's been some new revelations as it relates to the road to WrestleMania. We have matches. Oh, sweet baby. We've got some matches happening at WrestleMania. I know WWE has become the land of the promo, but they do occasionally get in the ring and roll around a bit. So
I love it. I love all of it, by the way. I'm glad you said that. I love that. Make it a fucking soap opera. If you're going to entertain me, entertain me. Don't put – in a world where AEW exists and they are infamous for just putting dudes in a ring, give me the opposite.
They said they wanted to be the alternative, so they are. One company just focuses purely on just beating the shit out of each other for zero reason, and the other company gives us all the reason in the world and barely gives us the beating the shit out of each other. So there's no gray area, it appears to be.
Good enough.
So let's really quickly, let's update the folks exactly what I'm talking about as far as the road to WrestleMania. So we already know our main event matches, right? Night one will be main evented by the biggest tag team match in WWE history, Roman Reigns and The Rock against Cody and Seth Rollins, with stipulations. If the Bloodline is to win the tag team match, that means all Bloodline members will be legally allowed to be around ringside during the night two main event, which is Cody Rhodes against The Rock for the WWE Universal Champ. Excuse me, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. However, if Cody and Seth were to win the tag match, that would make the Bloodline nil. They would be barred, banned from ringside. Only Roman Reigns would be allowed. Not even Paul Heyman, not even the Wise Man would be allowed. And it'll be one-on-one with a fair opportunity for Cody Rhodes to complete his story, or we complete this magical run of Roman Reigns just a little bit further. That's our two main events. Now, the other two matches that we already knew about before, three matches before Seth Rollins, although he's in the tag match for night one, still has to defend the World's Heavyweight Championship on night two against Drew McIntyre, who we've already stated this, we'll say it again, this man is a menace. This man is on fire.
He's
fuego
an
even.
Tear right now.
He's an absolute tear. And so Drew will get his opportunity against Seth Rollins for the World's Heavyweight Championship. Now, we also have the two women's title matches, which everybody has been made aware of since the Elimination Chamber. It's going to be Becky Lynch, who was the winner of the Chamber, going one-on-one with Rhea Ripley for the World's Women's Championship. And just for a second, we will discuss Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Bayley. And you said something to me when you were here at the house that I'm going to be honest with you, didn't click to me when you said it. And I actually didn't realize it until you said it. But you said it with such confidence.
As I normally do.
As you normally do. And I said to myself, maybe there's more to this. Maybe I'm missing something. Because, you know, I'm one of those people. I like to be self-aware of my ignorance. So I said, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm bugging. But no. No, I am apparently the one bugging, and apparently you were the one with the foresight. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. But it's true. And you said it. Who gives a shit about this match? And I was stunned. I was stunned when you said that. You said, who gives a shit about this match? So I started perusing. You know, I like to hit the net, as the kids say. You know, get on the interwebs.
Do some research.
Do the research. Pound the pavement. Go door to door. Take the consensus. And I'm hearing a clamoring of the same sentiment. Who gives a flying two French fry titty fuck about this goddamn match between Bayley and Io Sky? But I have to ask the question, folks. Is it because you don't give a shit about Bayley, or you don't give a shit about Io? What is the what is the weak point in this match?
They don't give a fuck about Io. Ooh. It has nothing to do with the people. It has everything to do with the presentation.
With the presentation of Io Sky.
With the presenters. Oh. Fuck that. We're not even getting a presentation. That's the problem. We're at the drawing board, and like at the bottom right corner with like a little square, like a thought bubble, is like Io Sky and Bayley. Right? Wow. And then over top of that bubble, it says hard reset. So, like, we're just going to ride that out till the belt comes off of her, and then we'll figure out what to do from there. Let's focus on the other shit that has nothing to do with that championship belt at all. They're doing a phenomenal job at tying in both men's championships, right? Like, right. I think this is doing, again, Roman at this point, he's not even fucking doing anything, but his just his aura is just doing it right now.
He's there. He's involved, and that's it.
I don't know if anyone's noticing it, but like, I mean, obviously, Rock is being Rock, of his age, Rock, which I love, by the way. I'm glad he's giving you the nostalgia while still like being mature, grown ass man Rock. Like, I like that. I like the balance between the two. But while Rock is doing what Rock does, Roman is just being the presence right now. And just because of everything he's done, it's just validating everything. Mm-hmm. So all this shit talk between Rock, like, I'm gonna get rid of that fucking belt because I can do that. I'll dissolve that shit. It means nothing. Like, you're trash, that's trash, I can get rid of it. Like, all of that stuff doesn't work if Roman isn't who he is. So they're doing a really good job at like kind of rubbing that belt, you know what I mean, and like giving it some shine while he still holds the belt. We're sitting here thinking, like, trying to put together the puzzle pieces of, is this the ultimate murder of Cody Rhodes that they wanted to do because they don't even respect Cody, or are they actually believing in Cody? Can Cody actually do it? Is Roman really going to be done here? Because you and I have even discussed, like, once he drops this, I don't think we see Roman for a long time. Mm-hmm. For a long time. That's just the assumption. So all of these things with both – we're even like, if Seth even makes it out of this match, the champion, like, all this stuff, all that energy on two belts, on one program, and what are you getting on the women's side? You're getting Rhea – and you're getting Becky Lynch. And then you're getting Bianca, which has nothing to do with any of the other stuff going on. I don't even think do we know Bianca's match yet, if she even has one?
No, she's not involved in anything.
And we've heard more about Bianca in WrestleMania than we have other two.
I think the direction for Bianca is going to be Jade Cargill, but the fact that they haven't pulled the trigger yet.
Yeah, but they haven't done, like, they would have to work that, though, for me. You can't just...
At this point, I don't think you can work it. We're already, what, 2 weeks away? 3 weeks
away.
That's
what I mean. Like, at that point, you're just... That would be stupid. I would save that for next Mania. I would not use that here. Okay. I would not use that here. Okay. But even then, like, we're even the idea of Jade Cardwell on this, without even talking about Io Sky as the women's champion right now, is just... They don't care about it. We need to get the belt off of her. This is a way to do it. Those three will be great. We even talked about it a little bit while SmackDown was going on. Dakota Sky, what is this? Like, what are you right
yeah,
now? Like,
what?
I don't see you with going one way or the other. Like, at some point, she just needs to separate herself because her lingering with the three doesn't even make sense. So that's just a hodgepodge of shit, and I think they're just trying to work through it. And probably the most unopportune time, which is the road to WrestleMania. So, and unfortunately, it's showing. It's not even like they're trying to, like, okay, let's see what we can make out of this. No, they've completely given up on it. So we're just, that is going to be the piss match. Because when Io loses the belt, it's going to mean nothing. Like, no one's going to care. That match is going to, is at best, going to be an okay match because there's just no feeling behind it.
I think I get the sense of Io loses the belt, which she probably more than likely will. And I don't want to do picks yet. We'll save it for when we actually do sit down with our buddies and friends to talk about WrestleMania. But I feel like if she does lose the belt, it'll be more of a – it'll actually go back to what I was saying before about Cody and Roman last year. Is it Bayley won the belt or is it, oh, thank God, the belt's off of Io? Because I think that's going to be the overall feeling. It's going to be like, all right, cool for Bayley, but oh, thank God Io's not the champion anymore. And I just get that vibe. I don't know what – she was – I don't know what the downpoint. If she was that fucking popular to the point where they would put the belt on her, why once you put the belt on her, the machine just stop? I can't see her being a backstage problem. I can't see her being a political problem. I don't understand why they would just all of a sudden out of nowhere just stopped investing in Io Sky.
But she's a Money in the Bank winner, isn't she?
She is. And they also,
How she got the belt.
That's how she got the belt. But then the Kabuki Warriors come into play. Now, mind you, the wheels were already in motion before Kairi Sane came back. But when they came back, now they throw the tag titles on them. Like you said, when we were watching it, you were like, that doesn't even make sense. The belt, I mean, Asuka being a part of the tag team as opposed to the singles one was probably the better option. But that's not where we are. You put the belt on Io, so why did you stop? What did she do?
I don't know, man. If I'm using my thought, my completely out of the circle brain, I feel like Bayley was the one who was supposed to give the WWE rub. I don't think it worked. I know the group was okay, but for me, it never hit. That from the start of that group never hit. Bayley to me is not someone that could do that for those two people. I know those two people had their thing. They should have been done it with Asuka from the start. Asuka had her own thing, which I don't think would have meshed with that. She would have, it would almost have to be a complete change of Asuka, which is what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing videos of people like, dude, I miss the old Asuka. Like don't get me wrong, like, she is who she is, but I kind of dislike this. I want the old thing, which I think was the whole premise, reason why they went with Bayley to begin with. Gave her an opportunity to see if she carried, blah, blah, blah. Didn't work. I don't think it ever worked. So now they're trying to do it now, and it's just a scramble of, like, pivots and changes, like, right before her eyes. And I don't think Bayley did a good job. Not a matter of questioning her talent. But I just don't think, like, this was the group for her to give that rub to. And I think they maybe did a Hail Mary to see, okay, does Io have the reputation to just do it? Like, fuck it, she's been with Bayley this long, see if she can do it. And unfortunately, from my own perspective, I've grown to learn that Money in the Bank has become a, like, trial card. It's an ability to do a trial card or test the waters, or even you can use it as a payout for a, hey, dude, we appreciate everything you've done. So, mm-hmm. like, here's your chance to, like, grab a title for a night. You know what I mean? Like, it become that wild card where you can, like, decide if you need to do some type of hard pivot with the belt or if you want to try something out. I think she was a trial. I think it fell flat fucking immediately. Oh, damn. Yeah.
That's how far she had
the energy drink spilled. Thank God it was empty. Immediately, I think it fell flat. I think you made mention this weekend when we were talking about it, how Puerto Rico kind of, you said it was, I believe it was in Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
And you said that they completely, like, misguided the energy because they blew the roof off that joint, and it just made it look like, okay, this might be good. And then I think immediately after that,
because what happened was is that Puerto Rico made her sound and feel like a legitimate star, but the rest of the world didn't agree with Puerto Rico. So like, it was a huge reaction. You go, okay, this is an opportunity to maybe build a star. But the rest of the audiences that they perform in front of don't agree. And this isn't a slight against American fans. She doesn't get a reaction anywhere. So, Puerto Rico, was this a hot house? I don't know what to tell you. It was a false flag.
I think in normal circumstances, this would have worked. But I've talked about this before. We are in an era of women wrestling where you are both feminine and a powerhouse. And, like, Rhea toes that line, like, insanely. Like, this chick will throw on a dress and just be like, holy crap, dude. Right. She's insane. And then she'll get in the ring and you're like, she's going to punch you in the mouth.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women like that that can do that. So, and so you kind of need to be where like the size of the males is going down a little bit. Like we don't have any more Big Shows or Kanes, Undertakers, like these huge body people.
Yeah.
They're getting wider, not taller. I've mentioned to this before. It's like some of the other wrestlers are starting to make more sense when it comes to the fight. I think we're going in the opposite direction of that with a lot of these women wrestlers. When I see Io Sky wrestle, I think very much the things that I hate about Rey Mysterio today. And that when the other wrestler has to do your moves for you, I'm out.
Right.
I'm out. When the other person is wrestling themselves, I'm out. I know people like it. It's fine. I don't hate it if you do. But to me, overall, I think people agree when that's the case. And I think that's some of it for me with her. It's just she's just too small. She's too small. I will never believe her beating Rhea Ripley. I don't believe her beating Bayley.
I don't believe her beating
Bayley. I don't. I wouldn't even believe her beating Sasha Banks. And Sasha's not even that big. She's created a persona bigger than her physique because she's wrestled these matches and like she can do her own moves against the people, i.e. Bayley and stuff like that. But with Io, I don't buy any of that stuff. So for her to have that belt, it's just I'm out, dude. Like I told you earlier, it should be Asuka with that belt, her with the tag team belt with the other chick, the Dakota gone, which I think is probably going to happen at some point, and then that's the way it should have been. But it is what it is. That no one gives a shit about.
I kind of feel the same way you gave an example before about Rhea, because Rhea's got Becky, and I'm like, in what universe is Becky Lynch going to win this fucking match? Because I've heard a few people, Becky needs this win. Why? What do you do? What? She's the man. She walked out with two world titles at the main event of WrestleMania. She never needs another win for the rest of her life. She's set. She's good. Although that does paint the picture now, because Rhea won the championship last year at WrestleMania, and she's going into this WrestleMania still the champion that she won last year.
She's going to leave it too, man.
Probably. Probably. But let's update these individuals listening to our show with the other matches that have been announced. Some of these may be even new to you. You let me know.
Yeah, probably, because I don't know many.
Yeah, so we've already mentioned the two women, the two men, the tag team, blah, blah, blah. We have now added LA Knight versus AJ Styles one-on-one at WrestleMania. These two have had issues for weeks. With AJ still blaming LA Knight for the whole Crown Jewel situation, and they're going to settle their goddamn differences. This was the, what was it, AJ flew all the way to Australia just to do a run-in to set this program up with LA Knight. They finally pulled the trigger on Uso versus Uso, Jay versus Jimmy, one-on-one. Good story there with them being headliners last year, now competing against each other this year. There's always the brother versus brother angle, but this could have been built up so much better, man. They've done so many things. They're going to make a cut. When they make the promo package for this match, they're going to incorporate all the shit that's been going on since the original Bloodline storyline. They'll make it make sense, but it's been so long in between these things that I'm not feeling it like I was, say, coming out of SummerSlam.
I think the promo is going to help.
The promo is going to help
because
with the hype.
Because even if they did, I don't think – I actually think what they're doing – I know it sounds a little small because it's for Mania and supposed to be big, but I think it's bigger than what we're feeling because of, like, the way they've kind of spaced it out. But with everything going on with the blood, like if there was something completely separate from the Bloodline, I would understand. But because it has the Bloodline umbrella, it still would have been squashed. Like, it doesn't matter how hard they would have went with these two. I don't think people would have paid attention to it as much. However, with the history and the little pissing each other off here and there throughout the time that we've had, when they piece it together, I feel like it's going to feel like a complete package. But I don't put any energy into that right now. In my opinion, I think they spent better time on the other thing than focusing on this.
I really hope this is the opener. That's what I'm thinking. This would be a really hyped ass match to try to put in as the opener, and it would tie into another great story. Still to this day, many consider Owen Brett one of the greatest WrestleMania opening matches of all time. That was brother versus brother. So I'm hoping that they position this the same way. We have a triple threat match for the United States title, as Logan Paul will be defending the United States Championship at WrestleMania against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has been in the WrestleMania match for the U.S. title before. Randy Orton has as well. This is Logan Paul's first time coming into this major pay-per-view as a champion. Triple threat rules. Stunner versus RKO versus, I don't know, YouTuber. I don't know. I don't think, is he still on YouTube?
Is he streaming another event? He's everywhere.
Does he have a Discord?
Did you ever think, as a wrestling fan, knowing Kevin Owens at his roots, knowing Randy Orton at his roots, knowing the buzz now of this guy and like how much people hate him, that the least favorite person in this match would be Kevin Owens?
Yeah, probably. That's not to say that I don't like Kev. I love Kevin Owens. But I am high on Logan Paul right now, and Randy. And Randy is Randy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's the thing, right? Like, yo, this guy is buzz. He's earned his buzz, all this stuff, right? And then, like, who should we put a feud with him? Like, how about the guy who makes everyone? Randy fucking.
I was just going to say, have we reached a level with Randy where he's officially just unfucking touchable at this point? Can he just not miss?
He can't miss.
There
is literally nothing that man can do. He is the embodiment of the flow state. Like, there's no wrong he can do. That dude, every time he's in a ring, and it's amazing. How long has he been doing it? And his entrance still hits the same as the first time I fucking hear it. Like, everything he does, the people he's brought up, the people he's worked with. I mean, he ended up, I would say, accidentally tag teaming for a very long time with a weird ass gimmick that worked. I forget the dude's name. I'm drawing blank. Riddle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Riddle.
Like, that worked.
RK Bro.
Like,
RK Bro.
And that was so unique, too. Like, I loved that Randy Orton. But you can go back and – I'm telling you, man, it'd be a tough argument once he's actually done his run. He might be one of the greatest of all time, like top three.
Yeah.
There's people in the industry.
There's people in the industry that believe that. Like, in the WWE, sit there and tell you, I think he might be the fucking GOAT, bro. They're like, Jesus Christ.
Listen, I'm out of touch. I'm not nearly as smart as you are and some of these other fans, but I'm willing to sit at a table and go over some stats to argue that he might be the number one wrestler in the wrestling business, period. Like, that dude gets people over, like, right up there with, like, he, what Roman does at a high end,
yeah,
Orton can do across the board. Like, he gets people over, not to say that, Roman can't do that, but his time is spent other places, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't know. Orton might be the GOAT, dude.
Yeah, it's he's in the conversation at this point for longevity, the amount of time. Remember, he won the world title his first year. Not second year, sorry. He won it at the 04 SummerSlam, but still, he was, what, 21 when he won it?
So hey, we gave him a lot of shit for that, too. Well, I gave him a lot of shit for that.
Yeah,
because that was around the era where they were just giving people belts who didn't quote, that was the he didn't earn it era, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Like, people were just kind of getting it. Yeah. And I remember there were quite a few people, and you might have been one of them, who's like, I don't know, man. He's kind of Randy Orton. Like, even in that time, it was like, he's kind of Randy Orton.
Because,
like,
he went in.
He has paid his dues.
Even the night that he won it, when he beat Benoit for it, I'm like, if you watch that match, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Because he's 21, he's a child. But he's in there with Benoit, and he's going hold for hold. And you're like, oh, my God, his athleticism and standing drop kick and this and that. No. And I'm just like, woof. And I'm listening. By the way, last night I started there's an A&E biography right now. A&E has worked with WWE in the past. They have new seasons of the biography and their Rivals programming. So they opened up this season with Randy Orton. They did a biography on Randy Orton. And this is not like some dude talking about Randy's career. It's Randy telling about his life and his career, the military time and how that went down and his break into the business and all that stuff. And he's breaking it down for you. And with that programming, you hear a lot of other people that worked with him during that beginning time. Bruce Pritchard, John Cena. You know, a couple of comments from Cornette because of his commentary, but you get to hear a lot of people describe Randy, and I think John said it best, effortless. He makes everything look easy. It's like he's not even trying to do it. Even when, like you said, with the go with the flow vibe, like he's such a chill dude, and yet in the moment, like within the second, he knows what to do next. It just comes to him. It came to him in a dream. And he just knows how to go from here to here, this makes sense. Like he used to always say on camera, it wasn't until he got older, you know, because for years, when you're an upcoming performer and you're on WWE television, you need to find what works for you. So as he progressed in his career, he used to always tell people, listen, I like to bat 1,000. If I know this works, let's stick to this, right? I'm not trying to go too far outside the box. I'm not trying to experiment. But as he got older and he started messing with people with a lot more in-ring experience, but with different styles, like a Seth Rollins or a Kevin Owens, people who like the Ring of Honor guys, essentially is what I'm trying to say, who traveled all around the world and did all this amazingly crazy shit. They're like, I know here we can't do all the crazy shit we used to do, but at the right moment, at the right time, we can pull out a crazy thing here and a crazy thing there. And I think one of the best ways that they got Randy to get out of his show is all the creative ways that guys were coming up with to get hit with an RKO. Because they're like, look, we'll do this. How about this? You've never done this before. I'll springboard, and then you catch me, boom. Or it'll be like the Seth Rollins. I'll do the go for the stomp. I'll come off the shoulder, flatten out, boom, RKO. And they're just like, oh, shooting star press.
That shit was fire.
Into a fucking, yeah. So they just started coming up with all these different ways. They had to earn that from Randy. They had to say, look, we know what we're doing. We've been here before. We can help you. You can help us. We need you to get over, and you need us to stay over. So let's figure this out. Now if you look at him, like you said, with Riddle, boy, I don't even.
That was one word, man.
I don't even know to this day how it worked. I just know that it did. It was awesome. And they changed that music, and they changed that ambiance and him. That was the most baby face I've ever seen Randy Orton in my life. He just had a friend. That's it. It was just, and he was annoyed.
He was enjoying himself.
Yeah, he was just smiling. And he was just the happiest motherfucker on earth with the same song, too. So it was like the theme for a psychopath, but he's over here giggling and shaking and dancing and juking and jiving and tagging in Riddle with his bare feet and It was weird. It was fucking weird. But it worked. They made it fucking work. So that is what it is, man. That is what it is. So Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and I can't talk. Listen, I know, because I keep saying this, and people are like, AJ, he's a piece of shit, dude. He's done some really fucked up shit. I get it. I get it. He's not. I'm not sending him a Christmas card. He's not babysitting my child. I understand. He's a piece of shit. But if you people understood how many pieces of shit are in this business, most of which...
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Most of which, most of which you root for, you just don't know it.
Yeah.
You gotta,
oh,
you
know,
gotta
it.
Excuse me on this one.
You fucking know it.
Fuck out of here. He has taken to this business so fucking well that I have to sit here and just be like, Jesus Christ, this fucking guy. He's so impressive. And he's still learning. He's gonna get better than this. And that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. He's actually gonna get better. And I tell you this, working with Kevin Owens, I'm sure, was, because he worked with Kevin at the last paper. That was it, the Rumble? Not the Rumble. No, it wasn't the Chamber. When did they have their match? Was it the Rumble? I can't remember. When Kevin Owens and... Yes, it was the Rumble. Kevin Owens and Logan Paul had the one-on-one match. And this was the first time Logan was in a match where it wasn't Rollins, it wasn't Ricochet, we're not jumping off the top rope, we're not second rope, double cross. No, we're working a wrestling match. Let's see if you can keep it going. You know, Logan Paul against Seth, against Ricochet, against Rey Mysterio. These guys are athletic and can move. That's up to him. That's in his ballpark. But with Kevin, got to start using that wrestling mind, that IQ. Now he's going to be in a match with two people like that, one of which is even better than the previous guy. Randy Orton is obviously light years ahead of where Kevin was. So
yeah, but your greatest tool here is being able to listen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If he could just play his role and just soak up everything that's about to happen in this match, he's going to be fucking
just
dangerous.
Just be a dick and listen. Those are your two jobs. We already know he can execute.
Yes.
Can you listen? So listen and continue to be a dick, and this match will be fire.
Well, according to Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels has been telling everybody, yo, Logan's, he's coachable. He's been listening to Shawn. I don't see why he wouldn't listen to Randy, and I'm sure he's already been listening to Kevin.
Well, to be honest with you, that's his greatest strength, right? You don't come from some kid from YouTube out of nowhere and hit the big league as hard and fast as you can without being and as fast as being expedited as much without the ability to listen at a high level. Like, listen and then adapt. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's no way you do it that fast. It's fucking impossible to be able to do that. He's obviously displayed an extreme high level of being coached. Like, next level. So, yeah, this match is going to be fire, man. I'm a huge Logan Paul WWE guy for sure. I don't really know too much him aside from people hate him. But in here... he was fucking made for this, dude.
There you go. And one more matchup that has been announced so far, and they'll be announcing more matchups as we get closer. And when they announce this one, I want it to kick a window. I wanted to put my head through a fucking wall, my own head. I said,
do
why?
I know this?
Why? Why did we have to do this? Why? And I had a bad feeling in my fucking gut. When they were opening Raw and Adam Pearce was like, yeah, me and Nick Aldis have a huge WrestleMania announcement. And we were like, oh, baby, what could this be? What it is? What is it? And they hit me with 6-team ladder match. You dirty, no good motherfuckers. You couldn't fucking resist. Okay? You couldn't fucking resist this shit.
The card was so good.
You were doing so well. Everything was cooked. You were cooking all. It was like a big pot. And here comes all the good shit. And it's got the seasonings. You just putting all in. It's bubbling. It's smelling nice. And I was like, oh, this is smelling good. I fucking love it. And all of a sudden, something stupid. Something like raisins or whatever the fuck. Out of nowhere, you just dump a box of useless shit into my soup. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Why? Why did this have to happen? I was so... I got messages from people that I know you tight. I am extra tight.
Oh, well, you made a post about it, too.
Yes, I did, because I post every fucking time we get hit with this. Why? Why was this necessary? And then they showed, when they had made the announcement, they just started showing random pictures of other tag teams. And I'm like, the Cutter Brothers and all this other stuff. I'm like, do we need these people? Because that's what somebody put underneath the post. They were like, well, they gotta get on the show somehow. No, they don't. I have to stay consistent.
At least they tried to validate the tag teams by making them go through some type of tournament. Yeah,
that part's cool. I'll give them that. To where we get a chance to see, like, instead of just naming who the six teams are, and then have them have a bullshit feud leading a 16 program leading into WrestleMania. Jesus.
I do at least appreciate the fact that although it does look random, they made it make sense to be random because there is no story behind it. These people earned their way into this match for a chance at the titles. So at least in that sense, it's not like, hey, filler match. These guys are going to fight these guys because our tag team needs something to do.
Yeah. Fuck off. The tag titles were there. Balor and Priest are obviously already in. They had two tag team matches this past SmackDown to see who would qualify. I saw the matches, and I still don't fucking remember who won. That's all you need to know about this fucking matchup. This did not need to happen, and this bitch better happen night two. Don't bring this ladder match into my face.
But it did need to happen.
Why? Why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay, educate me.
Listen, I will tell you why.
Okay, educate me.
Because WWE is doing a phenomenal job at protecting their talent. And what happens is you will have certain people. Right now, this WrestleMania is the WrestleMania of, like, the same people wrestling on both nights. Okay? So what's going to happen is Priest has to defend his tag team titles. But if he does an entire match on his own, he risks injury, he risks being tired for when he wrestles night two as the champion. So if you put him in a multiple team match, he can rest throughout the match and then be done with that match, not be as tired, be able to show out at the end of the night when he takes the belt. He's still rested. He gets a good night's sleep. He gets a healthy breakfast. Gets a nice little workout to stay loose. And then he can have a great match with McIntyre on the second night. That's why we need multiple people to carry the weight of the match. That's why. There's a purpose.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Don't. I hope and wish someone can confirm that they put together a 12-man ladder match just so Priest could keep his wind for the fucking cash-in for later on that night. Fuck you.
Listen, I know I'm completely wrong. I know I'm completely wrong. That's why I'm committed to it. But if it goes down the way I say it, dude, this guy, I'm going to have a reason for every multi-man ladder match that you fucking hate. Watch.
God,
that's going to be my new thing, is to come up with the narrative.
Oh. You know, I got beef from someone the other day. They were like, you know, you're always shitting on these multi-man matches. I bet you were huge into the TLC matches back in the day. I was, because I'd never seen some shit like that. Now I've seen it 67 times. I'm good.
To be fair, by the fifth time Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys did it, I was over it.
Yes. By the time,
but
yes.
I loved them, so it was okay.
I loved them. I didn't need them to kill themselves like that anymore.
Although I do agree with the argument, and it's kind of one of those obvious gotcha moments, like, haha, you enjoyed it when it was hot.
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
When it was new and inventive.
It did get old. With them, it got old.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And to the point where Edge and Christian tried to do it on AEW pay-per-view not too long ago. With the ladder and the flaming table, and they tried to do it then.
But it works over there. They love that.
No, it doesn't work with them over there because they're 50 and 47. And we don't need these motherfuckers doing that shit anymore. The two of you are multimillionaires for not doing it anymore. That's what you did to earn your money. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. And without the TLC matches, I don't know where Edge and Christian wind up in history. They needed that. But once it went away. Because why the fuck?
Fine.
Because why in the fuck would you do this to yourself continuously over and over, beating about the head and face? So, no, I'm over it. They're over it. You should be over it, too. This is an excuse to get more people on the card so that they can, so that they don't complain about not getting their opportunity on the big show. That's all that it is.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't think WWE gives a fuck about anyone who complains at all. And you think any dude? Do you think anyone in that tag team match would go up to Triple H and go, "Listen, man, I need to be on the
people"? No, okay, that's not what I'm saying is happening. I'm not sitting here saying that the talent is coming up to Triple H and going, you know, we really deserve to be on this card. I'm saying the people in charge are trying to be preemptive and saying before they start belly aching and being little bitches on Twitter, let's just throw a few fucking people out there and see what we get. Because who knows? Maybe they'll throw the ladder match together and somebody will stand out. It's such a natural clusterfuck. There's 12 people in this match. 12. Someone's getting hurt. That's a guarantee. That's not even a prediction. What does Paul say? That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. Someone's getting hurt. Guaranteed. It's just a matter of who, when, and when the time is right. That's it. But someone's getting hurt. And then where do you place this on the card? Because I'll be goddamned if they throw this bitch on night one. But I have a feeling they will, because they've got two world title matches on night two. So I gotta have two world title matches to follow a fucking 12-man clusterfuck. It's not gonna happen.
No, rest assured.
Oh my god.
They know you're coming night one.
Oh
my
god.
You will sit and watch this live.
I was telling you the other day. Not the other day, you were just here. I told you like yesterday. Where I said, it's crazy because we always planned on taking mom to a WrestleMania at some point. We never got the chance to do it. We're finally doing it, and it's going to be at 40. It's going to be at Philly, and The Rock's going to be there. You can't plan that shit any better.
Mm-mm.
And we made the joke and said Triple H was like, you know, Aunt's coming. His mom's coming. Let's do something special for him. Let's get The Rock. And I said, cool. I'd
take,
love
baby.
The Rock. And he goes, before you take The Rock,
yeah.
I'm putting 12
equal
motherfuckers
exchange,
in the ladder match.
Baby. Equal exchange.
Oh,
you got to give a
God.
Little to get a little, baby. So you're going to sit there. You know what's funny? You're going to be in your seat, and security is going to come up behind you, and they're going to fucking put those little things on your eyes to hold them open.
The toothpick things?
And three jack niggas are going to grab your arms, and one's going to rest his hand on your shoulders, and your eyes are going to be pried open. And they're gonna say they were there on Triple H's orders.
Yeah.
They're gonna watch.
They're gonna watch every goddamn minute of this fucking match. You're gonna watch every minute, huh? Oh, you see that table that they're setting up that they're not gonna use till 12 minutes later? Sit there and stare at that fucking table. You wait and see. The magic's gonna happen. You know those ladders that were perfectly cut right in the middle so it snaps in half like a ladder normally wouldn't do? Yeah, watch that ladder get set up. You know when they tell you don't try this at home, but the ladder is right on the barricade where the fan is, so as soon as it snaps, it shatters right into the fan's eyes. You watch that shit, and you enjoy it. You fucking enjoy it. That's what you're going to... You wanted The Rock, right? You wanted The Rock? You wanted The Rock?
You wanted it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
12,
you're going to get it, buddy.
I hate multi-man ladder matches, and the most that I've seen in a multi-man in WWE is 8 people, 4 teams, Fatal 4-Way. They got 6 teams... 12
more, baby.
People. 12
The more
people.
The merrier, right?
Yeah. Said the woman at the Bukkake, I'm not going to sit here and just fucking get jizzed on by all this bullshit. I want out. Right, let me out of the... What was it? Let me out of the apartment. I don't want to be here no more. I need an adult. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I don't give a shit what I signed. I want to go home, son. This is crazy. I got to watch these... Oh, my God, this match is going to be so fucking bad. So fucking bad. And I know people were shitting on me when I was like, that 8-man for AEW was going to be bad. I would watch an entire pay-per-view of just 8-man fucking scrambles, whatever the fuck that bullshit was. I'll watch that. And I hate that, but I'll watch that over a fucking 12-man, 6-team ladder match. Now, here's the thing. If you are going to do it night one, which I'm feeling like they're going to, can you open with it so we can get that bitch right out of the way? Just right out of the way.
See, now, you're being ridiculous.
Get it out of there.
The booker inside of you knows that's not going to happen.
Yes, I know that. But still, get that shit right out of the way. Just rip that whole Band-Aid off.
You know where it's going to be? Dead smack middle of the night, baby. Just at the peak of your joy, you're just like,
this is
the greatest night of my life. And then that first fucking tag team's going to come out, dude.
I'm going to be watching Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. I'm going to be enjoying the match. I'm going to be thoroughly entertained. I'm going to be catching my breath when the match is over and the graphic will hit. Well, up next, ladies and gentlemen, the tag team championship on the line. I'm like, God damn it. God damn it, you sons of bitches. Oh, my God. It's like edging. They keep playing with my tip till I'm about to come and then they let it go.
It's funny you said that because I literally was thinking WrestleMania is a fine naked woman with her legs wide open and that tag team match just puts you on soft and there's nothing you can do about it.
To use your analogy, if WrestleMania is a nice fine woman and the opening match is enough to get me to start fucking, it's like being mid-fuck and then she just farts. Or just tastes like a shit, like right in the middle of the sex. It's like, I'm still going to get to the end, but God damn it, you've ruined my experience at this point.
Oh, my God. I need a break. I need some push-ups.
I'm going to finish, but you're not getting the call back from me. No way.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know what you can do? You can load up a good match on your phone.
Oh,
and as that's going on, watch like an old WrestleMania match.
No.
As it happens.
I'll stay current. I'll put on a random-ass Judgment Day match.
There you go.
Just to suffice for the garbage and the carnage that I'm sure will appear to ruin both my life and the lives of others. God damn it.
I'm sure it's not going to be that bad.
And we got one last match that was announced for the world to see. They had a gauntlet match on Raw. And it was to determine the number one contender to Gunther. Now, I know I just shit on the ladder match, but for a few weeks there, it felt like it was kind of leaning like they were going to put Gunther in the ladder match for the Intercontinental title. Thank God they thought better of that, because that probably would have been the only thing that made that situation worse. But they didn't. They're going to give him a one-on-one match, as it should be. But the winner of that gauntlet match was Sami Zayn. Now, this has been met with some controversy here because the WWE, and again, this is the WWE, this is not fans, they painted a hell of a picture for Chad Gable. They really went out of their way to be like, he is a sympathetic.
I'm so glad you brought this up, by the way.
He is such a sympathetic figure. They had a great series of matches, with the last match ending with Gunther getting major heat with Chad's daughter and crying, and he's been using it as motivation, as I'm going to get Gunther, this is not over. And then we have the gauntlet match, and Chad's like the last guy in there. You're like, this is it, this is perfect, and they gave it to Sammy. And I don't even have a problem with Sammy. I think a lot of people feel the same way. They don't really hate Sammy. But that's Chad's goddamn match, man. That was Chad's to have, and that's what it felt like anyway. And there were a lot of upset people. Why did you think this was a topic to bring up?
Okay, so we're in a good place right now in wrestling where they're doing good things with the storylines and stuff like that.
Correct. Yeah.
They need to be careful, because to me this is one of those moments where you're kind of killing somebody. You're driving this whole point home about his child and everything like that, and embarrassing him and all that, and then you squish him.
Yeah, they cut his knees out from underneath him.
Yeah,
they made him look like a
champ. There was a way to do this, right? There was a way to embarrass him, and then like him still take the L, right? Like, let's keep giving him L's. Let's keep feeding him L's.
His whole
crew, fine, right?
He's been so talented for so long, and he's been so good, entertaining outside of the ring, entertaining inside the ring. A hell of a wrestler. He checks all the boxes. They've fucked him around so much between being Shorty G. And he got jerked from Alpha Academy when his partner got hurt. That wasn't anybody's fault. That was an injury. That shit happens. But it leads Chad Gable on the outside looking in. And every time we turn around, he gets an opportunity. He knocks out of the park. It results in nothing. Those matches with Gunther were awesome. And Gunther has even admitted that they were very, very tough matches for him. This was built in the – when they threw in the kid, it was just, and they showed the footage. Like, they showed the daughter crying, a fucking physical blubbering mess, just defeated that her father was beaten before her like that. And the mockery and the whole deal, it was perfectly set. You built up all this sympathy for a guy you didn't even put over. And it wasn't even for the Intercontinental title. This was an opportunity at an opportunity. He couldn't even get the match at WrestleMania. Now, people are going to say, well, Sammy's the bigger name. If you don't put Sammy in something, what do you do?
First of all, I don't agree with that mindset.
Yeah, I don't either.
We need to fucking get away from this person is this person. They deserve the WrestleMania. Bro, if your story doesn't match, you're fucking... There's tons of people who disappear. To be honest with you, I've been watching every week for the past like 3 or 4 weeks, and I've barely seen fucking God, why do I draw blanks on names, dude? I hate that my brain does that. AJ Styles versus
LA Knight.
Thank you. Fuck, I hate when my brain does that. LA Knight has been quiet the past few weeks.
Yeah,
now, he has a match, which is fine, but this happens to people all the time. That's someone who has a match, and they've gone quiet. Yeah. There are tons of people who've gone quiet. Like, miss me with that shit. I'm not going to think any less of Sami Zayn because he wasn't in Mania. If it works, then it works. Now, my problem here has nothing to do with them, like that match. Like, the match can be dope. Like, I don't care. My issue is they need to be careful with their storytelling. Everything doesn't have to be big. And if you don't want to tell something smaller, right? Like, because I think him losing the opportunity to WrestleMania works in that favor, right? Like, but they didn't have to use the daughter. To me, could have been more of a payout thing. That's too big for me. But he can keep taking L's, make him lose the chance at WrestleMania. He can use that going forward. Like, have him just keep taking L after L after L if you want to invest in him. And then have him start coming on, like, going over, coming up on top. And, like, that can really drive that character of that fighter he's trying to be, like, come up from behind and stuff like that. But with the whole daughter thing constantly, the promo, this is mine, and then to be just smushed on, like, a random, like, Friday was just fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, they told this story wrong. That's all I'm saying. So let's see where they go, or if they even talk about it after this.
I feel bad for Sammy because Sammy got over so well organically. He got over as a guy that the people really wanted to support. He was an underdog. He's one of the greatest underdog performers of all time. You think about it. He's always fighting from underneath. He's always being supported by the audience and by the fans. This was the first time Sammy felt forced. Like, they pushed him into this position, and that's not what Sami Zayn should be used for. Like, I don't understand this decision. But like you said, the match itself, Gunther and Sami's a good match, but
like Gable, that whole thing was like, he was like, get up, like all that shit was good. Like I'm like sitting here, like he didn't want to touch him. Like, get up, you got to fight. The crowd like reset. He like reset the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
When they restarted that, like, dude, it was so good. And then when he didn't go over, dude, I'm like, what? Like, oh, all right, whatever, dude. It is what it is. You had me bought in, dude. Now I'm just kind of like deflated a little bit.
Yeah, it was just, it's bad timing. You want Chad to get an up? I'm sure that they're high on Chad because they wouldn't be doing these packages. They wouldn't be having these conversations if they weren't. But that execution is weird. It's just weird. I don't understand how.
And if you're trying to get the new age Kurt Angle out of him, this ain't a way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We need to. He's been getting Kurt Angle comparisons for a long time. I think we need to chill on that altogether.
The package, bro. I'm not talking about skill or none of that. The package, the ankle lock, bro. I could do a shot for shot on the match with fucking Sami Zayn, pulling him to the middle of the ring, finding ways to put him in the taking the straps off. Like, dude, come on. I'm not comparing skill. Yeah. What I'm saying is, if you're trying to package this as the new age Kurt Angle, you're gonna have to do a little bit
better than what you're doing. He's got a lot of Kurt Angle qualities about him.
Mannerism.
Oh yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Everything.
That's what I'm referring to. I'm not talking about like the skill level or whatever the case may be. I'm talking like this is what they're packaging to me. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But Kurt Angle would never.
Kurt Angle would never.
He would never. The Kurt Angle would be coming up on top. Like if that same scenario happened through and through with Kurt being there, Kurt was going over.
Yeah, and right? I don't know.
So if you're
go ahead.
All right, go.
I was just going to say that I think the frustration within chat, because you just said a second ago, Kurt would never, right? I think the fact that Chad did, I think is starting to weigh on him. Because I don't know if that shit at the end between him and Sammy was shoot or not. I couldn't tell. But you could start to see, like, he did his job. He went in there. He got beat. Sammy's a winner. They did it in a way to where it was like it almost looked like he barely beat him, which is perfect. But you could kind of see it on Chad's face. Like, yeah, I get it. And Sammy's talking to him, and you're like, I don't think you're the issue here. I don't think Sammy's the problem. We're not mad at Sammy. We're mad at the people who make the fucking decisions, and this is the decision that they fucking made. It's like, ugh. Now, if it's true that the audience got the main event changed with Cody and The Rock, because the judgment is still out as to whether or not that actually was the plan or not. I doubt it, but that's what, you know, we don't know for sure. And let's say that, okay, the audience did get that changed and they used their vocal strength and numbers and all that other stuff. You've cashed in your chips. You can scream to the heavens now. They're not changing Gable for fucking Sami Zayn. Like, listen, motherfuckers, we gave you Cody. That's what you wanted, right? All right, you got Cody. Leave us the fuck alone. Sammy's fucking wrestling Gunther at the fucking pay-per-view. It just is what it is. That's just not going to happen. I can foresee something like adding Gable and Otis to this ladder match and maybe getting a tag title win out of it. But, again, that's the one title he has held, is the tag titles. This man has criminally never held a singles title in his WWE career.
I want him away from that shoe shit.
I agree with you there, but I don't think that they're going to take that shit away.
I mean, it looks like that's what they were trying to do. Yeah. And then they did some weird... I think this was weird.
Yeah, this was just weird.
It's like you're walking me down one way, and then you just, like, push me into another road for some reason. Like, I just don't understand why I'm standing where I'm standing right now. It's weird.
Based on your direction, by the way. Like, you've talked me into those things.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave me packages. I approved them. I loved it. Look, hell yeah, dude. Don't disrespect. I got a daughter. Yeah. I get it. Don't disrespect me in front of my kid, bro. Fuck you. Yeah, fuck him up, dude.
Fuck you and your belt. Really
beat him. But fight back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Fight back, motherfucker. Fight back. No,
that's
exactly.
It, I don't think you told, think you can really this beat is him. The, this you is can't the, go out like no bitch.
Yeah, this is the thing. You told a beautiful story. I believed it. And then it just went away.
You took it away from me.
Yeah, you gave me this great story, and then it just fucking went away. So what did you expect, really? And people were like, oh, they turned on Sammy. No, they didn't. Sammy is still Sammy. No, I don't think anyone is upset with Sammy. Care. Sammy doesn't make the fucking decisions. That's not what this is. This is you again, we're back here again. That WWE told a great story. We just wanted that story to continue. That's it. That's the only... Mm-hmm. That's the only beef in this. We just wanted the story to continue. That's all.
And unfortunately, they're not going to hit every time, right? Like, this is the trial and error, especially. I mean, I don't want to call it the story-driven error, but this is kind of what I'm acknowledging, is that they're really investing stories, and even mid-cards to, like, somewhat even low-card. Like, with the LWO. I'm sorry if this is disrespectful to anybody, but to me, that is a very low-level card. Shit. And even then, they're driving story. So that's fine. They're going to miss. It just sucks when it's like, damn, like you just killed this guy. Or at least that's what it feels like. So let's see what happens.
It felt like a death. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so let's see if they learn from their errors. Like, I'm going to give them grace with all this story that they're trying to tell. I don't want to kill them, because continue to tell stories, even if you bomb, it's fine. But it just sucks when it feels like an execution. So let's just see what happens.
I would have much rather had Chad gone to WrestleMania, won the Intercontinental title, and programmed with Sami Zayn then. Because that's not a bad feud. No. I'd take that.
I don't think Gunther's ready to let that go. And I don't think WWE is willing to let that go right now.
I think it's about – listen, I want Roman on the bigger stage. He's done what he can do for the Intercontinental title. I want him in the world title picture.
Who, Gunther?
Gunther, yeah.
See, and this is where I'm going to have an argument, because although I highly agree with you, there's a persona clash that happens, and I don't think now is the time to do it. Unless, I guess you can if you do it on the Seth side, and I fucking hate saying that, because it just, like, I don't want to, like, further the shit that Roman was saying about how that's, like, the backup title.
Yeah.
Because it should be a title within its own right. But it just feels that way, right? Like, I'm not going to put Gunther in front of Roman, because that's the same persona. Like, Gunther is great because he beats everyone's ass. Like, that's mm-hmm. what makes him so great. Right. And that he does it with confidence. So that works really well for the Seth side. But, like, the Roman side, I don't know. So,
but
I don't know.
If Roman loses the championship at WrestleMania, and you and I have both said that if he loses the belt, they're not going to see him for a while, who takes the spot?
It's supposed to be whoever takes it. And that's a completely discussion separate on its own that I know it will go on for a very long time. Because one of my big questions that I want to have with you, maybe we can sneak it into the next pod as a big topic, is in the scenario that Cody goes over, can he do it?
Oof.
Can he be the face and the carry that came before him, and then thus before Roman and before, see, like, will he carry on that legacy? And I'm not going to say how I feel about it right this second, but it's definitely a discussion we need to have, because they've built up the possibility, and I think we should probably talk about how this is going to look if it happens.
Yeah. You're absolutely going to have to take some time and divulge more into that.
So that's a big talk.
So I know that we didn't go very long here. We did break down some of the newer announcements that were taking place over the course of the last week or so. We are on the road to WrestleMania. We're doing night one in the building, night two in tu casa, and then we're going to be bugging throughout all of WrestleMania weekend. My wife and I put in for a day off for that Monday. So we are in no rush. We're going to take a casual, because I'm not watching WrestleMania 2 in Philly till midnight and then driving to New York. It's not going to happen.
Fuck
so,
no.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. So we're off the next day as well, and we'll take our time coming back home. But it's going to be a hell of a weekend. There's much more to discuss as we get closer and closer. I'm looking at the calendar now. We've got 1, 2, 3 weeks to go. And we won't solely be WrestleMania. I pulled this one out of my ass today because I did want to talk about these matches since they were just announced, but I'm not feeling well. You guys aren't feeling well. We need the break. I'm working on deuce number 3 right now as we speak. all members of this train have buckled in, and we're all ready for departure. It's just a matter of me pulling the trigger. So this has been an abbreviated version of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, but we got it out there. We're staying committed. I got some editing to do. As far as the show, there's going to be some new stuff coming out for the show. I've been in the lab. I'm juggling a lot of shit, but we'll figure it out. You guys will get a chance to see some stuff going on. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for sharing. And, of course, thank you guys for enjoying. If that's indeed what you did here today, because my energy level is in the garbage. Before I sign off real quick, I did most of my talking today with my eyes closed, because I'm just like in a haze right now.
That's fair.
So, thank you guys for putting up with this shit. We'll be back 100% next week, and we'll figure it out. Upcoming very, very soon, we'll work on a date, but upcoming very, very soon, the roundtable, WrestleMania roundtable, where we will go definitely way more in-depth on some of the stuff we've been talking about, get a full idea on the nights, who's going to be performing on what night, and who's going to be doing what. We'll get really into it. We'll get some other prospects, some other opinions on the situation. There's going to be a dope conversation to be had. You guys should join us for that, and I'll send you guys information on the date when we have discussed and decided on what date that's going to be. But it'll be our first time live in a long time, and we'll see what's going to happen. So thank you guys for enjoying. We'll see you guys next week.
Mic drop. Wait a minute. This is too much. Cooking it like a pro. Wrap it up, everybody. Show's over.